After a season of varied repertoire from Janáček to Beethoven, Britten to Gluck, Amanda Nijeski returns to the Santa Fe Opera to sing Fiordaligi and Mozart's Così fan tutte. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're on the road a lot, singing in different companies in different cities, and you, on social media, do little vignettes to sort of catch people up to tips and techniques.
Yeah, well, you know, I try to keep it real because I think social media can be used for good and it can also be used for bad. And I never want to be one of those people or artists who always presents a perfect image. Because I think the only thing that that accomplishes is when people look at it, they compare their own lives to it and start to, oh gosh, why isn't my life like this? And why isn't it? When really what you're presenting is only a snapshot of the most perfect parts. And that's really not the case of opera singing. There are hard parts and there are fun parts and there are interesting parts. And I just try to make my space as open and inviting as possible. And if I have a tip or a trick, you know, I give it, and I hope it helps somebody. So that's my primary objective, is to include in my page.
Well, so much of your life is on the road and in a different house or hotel or wherever you're being put
out.
Oh,
yes.
This opera was seemingly accepted at the time and then became scandalous sort of in the late 19th and early 20th century, and now it's accepted again.
Yeah.
Is that part of because of the times we live in?
Well, I mean, I think it's completely applicable to today's society and how we perceive gender roles and maybe where we're going in those perceptions and how they're starting to change. So I think bringing the audience back to this subject matter that was relevant then, but maybe is relevant in another way now, only makes it the more interesting for the audience.
I mean, it's a comedy, and it is an absurd situation, but it's basically two young women who are manipulated by an older man into falling in love with their own boyfriends in disguise.
Right.
Does it seem like a little bit of a throwback, or is it easy to assume those roles?
A throwback how so? A throwback to another time?
Yeah, to another time and another perception of women and their roles.
Not to me in this production at all. I assume if we set it very period and were very strict to the time period in which it was written, maybe I would feel a little bit different. But because we're choosing not to do that in our production, it feels very present and very vibrant and very now, you know.
More like it's a comedy about the sensibility of our time.
Yeah, and I think not only how horrible the men are, but also the complexity of the woman and why she chooses to fall. Obviously, all of those, the whole situation is in place for them to do so. But
and they seem to hold out as long as they can.
Some more than others, yeah. I'd say Fiordaligi is the last one to go. But she does, we haven't gotten to that part of the staging yet, but she does, at least in past productions I've done, made the choice, even though it's set up for her to do so.
Mozart writes well for the voice. How well does he set character in the music and set you up for the emotion of a given aria or the duet or pieces like that?
Oh, I mean, he writes fabulously for the voice. I always say it's like honey coming back to it because it requires great technique and breath control and all of those things that really puts you on your A game when you're singing Mozart because you can't get away with much. And in terms of the writing, I think everything that Mozart wants to express about the emotion, about the inner complexities of the characters, it's all right there. And it's up to us to grab hold of it and to make the most of it so that we can fully tell the correct story to the audience.
That's the thing about it, isn't it? It's, in a way, a shallow comedy in terms of a plot. But in all of Mozart's operas, the depth of character,
oh, yeah,
partly due to him, partly due to, I think, the librettist, De Ponte, they're just deep, rich characters that you can learn.
And so, so human, you know, that we all as humans are complex creatures with a variety of sides to us and reasons why we make the decisions we make. And so Mozart writes that so brilliantly into his music and De Ponte into the text. So it's ours for the taking.
Now, Mozart was himself a human being, and apparently didn't get along with the soprano in the original production. Can you tell me a little bit
about it?
It's one of the great arias, but why was it written the way
it was? Now, I must say I'm not a historian, so I can't be, you know, don't quote me on the accuracy of it. I don't know if he disliked the soprano, but from what I understand, she had a habit of every time she would sing a high note, she would lift her head, and every time she would sing a low note, she would drop her head. And this, I think, annoyed Mozart maybe a little bit. And so him being a little bit of a smart, you know what, wrote Come Scoglio with that in mind. So there are these extremes in range,
so
very high and very low, and it goes up and down and up and down. So my goal is to keep my head still.
So you're not pursuing the avian physicality?
No, you know, I don't think that's the best vocal technique for me anyway. I don't want to... I want to make it a little more serious than that.
So
not distract the audience.
We won't want you bobbing your head up and down like a chicken.
I will really try hard to not do that. Yeah.
Amanda Majeski comes back to Santa Fe Opera this year for Mozart's Così fan tutte. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's such a pleasure.